It is that time. Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful people. Hope you're ready to rock with us on this Thirsty Thursday. You know, a day late after Cinco de Mayo, but that's okay. We're going to have a party for the next 3 hours here with you on 104.5 The Zone. No matter where you're listening, whether it be in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, across these United States on the 104.5 The Zone app, we welcome you in on this Thursday. A lot of fun that we're going to have. Now, the Preds are obviously the lead, and we'll get to them here in just a second. But we're going to spend some time on who the Titans wide receiver two is. Lucas has already started trolling you people on the internet early with a poll question that he put out for my Twitter account, at Buck Rising, on the socials. The biggest concern with the offense and the defense is something that we're going to address today. Jimbo Fisher is mouthing off about Nick Saban, which is very, very stupid, and we'll address that later on in the show before we get to Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel, because there are transfers, two of them, for the University of Tennessee coming into, well, one at a position that's not of need at all, but the other one, honestly, may be the most important player that's not a quarterback that's coming on to the Vols roster for the 2021 season. So we'll address that later on with Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And Falcons head coach, former Titans offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. He is going to be on the radio show today. Very much looking forward to talking with Coach Art. J.A. Stone writes in on Twitch, Buck, I postmated a Gatorade this morning because I was hurting. How much did that Gatorade cost you, Jason? Or J.A. Stone. I would love to know. I think we've talked about this before. The most that I've ever spent on a single beverage is $17 for a Gatorade to have it Uber Eats to my house. So we welcome you in across the board, whether you're on the radio, whether you're with us on the app, whether you're, you know, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone, or on Zone TV, across Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. Happy to see all of you here this morning. So a lot of stuff to discuss across the NFL, the Titans, the Vols, the SEC, but we start in the obvious place. Oh, $18.95 for a Gatorade, J.A. Stone writes in.
Come on.
No, I get it. If you're down bad, if you are in a place where you are just banged the hell up, and after Cinco de Mayo, I think it's a good excuse. Now, whether he, you know, how early in the morning did he have to postmate it to him? Did he have to go to work today? These are all important follow-up questions.
Must have been a tough Cinco de Mayo.
$18.95 in Macon, Georgia for J.A. Stone.
Thanks for listening from Macon, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Listen, people all over the place. The Zone's a big, big, bad signal. And also, you know, we have the internet at our disposal and the app, so it's a great time. So before we get into all of the things football-wise from the SEC, the Vols, the NFL, and the Titans, the Preds. The Preds had the ability, or I guess the ability was not in their own hands to be able to clinch a postseason spot, right? They needed Tampa Bay to go out there and beat Dallas. Tampa Bay did beat Dallas, but also they had the ability to influence their own playoff destiny if they had been able to beat Columbus last night in their final road game of the season. And I want to start here because I need to apologize. I had a bad moment yesterday on the internet. After the show, someone named Thomas Bauer tweeted us, or tweeted me, and said, the Preds are in the middle of a big playoff push, and Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone hardly mentions it, if at all. Extremely disappointed. And I got upset. Okay? I lashed out a little bit at poor Thomas Bauer on Twitter. Because, you know, I snapped because I take offense when somebody is criticizing us having, you know, not listened to the show, clearly, because, Lucas, we probably spent, what, two or three segments on hockey yesterday?
Yeah, we had a full segment with Alex Doherty diving into it. We talked about it off the top, and then we spent a good portion of the poll watch segment discussing it.
So I got a little snippy because, you know, don't criticize us without having listened to the show. And I think that when we take time out of our schedules or out of our day, I have 3 hours to work with on the radio. I have an hour and a half basically on prime time to do with what I please. And I did Preds last night too, because they were playing when the primetime show was on. A to Z Sports primetime at 8 p.m. Central on your favorite streaming social media app. So I snapped a little bit because we think it's important when a local team is having success and getting closer to the playoffs, trying to make a playoff push, when we take time out of our show to talk about that, when we know that it doesn't do numbers, and I'm sorry, but it bothers me. So I snapped a little bit at poor Thomas Bauer. But it is relevant. What is going on with the Preds? Now two home games remaining, and the Carolina Hurricanes are not a team to be trifled with. Now here is the important thing to remember, and you heard a bit of it in Lucas's update, but this from John Glennon of Broadway Sports. So after the Preds fell last night, there was an empty netter at the end there, 4-2. Oh, good God, what just happened in your studio back there?
I've been illuminated.
What the hell? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Kyle's in here working hard, making sure that this studio is not a black hole. Like
I thought Kyle got like electrocuted back there or something like that. There was just like, I was like a deer in the headlights. That's tough because you're working through like 4 foot of glass at this point to be able to affect me with your studio lights. But anyway.
I appreciate Kyle. He just came in and replaced these lights. So now when I do the Nashville soccer show at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, I'm not in the shadows.
I thought we did that like 2 weeks ago.
What, fix the lights?
Yeah.
No, today.
Okay. So anyway, let me not get distracted. And by the way, if you want to interact with the show, 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. We welcome your participation, as always. So the Preds, 4-2 last night against the Blue Jackets. Tampa Bay beat the Stars, so that works in your favor. The magic number, as Glennon points out, is 2 points.
Right.
The bad for the Preds. They blew 2 one-goal leads, outscored 2-0 in the third, 3 power play goals allowed in the last 5 games, last 2 games against Carolina, who would be their next opponent, here in Smashville, 6-0 versus the Preds this year. The one good point that Glennon points out is that Tanner Janot, fourth goal in 13 games. So he's obviously found a little bit of his footing, just had an incredible, I mean, just absolutely decked a dude. Last night, they made a gif out of it. I could feel the hit in my bones. I don't know who Tanner Janot hit, took out. It was not as violent as what happened with the Capitals and the New York Rangers last night. That unto itself was incredible. But the Preds now, you know, it. I guess if you're looking at it this way, because I don't know how Preds fans feel about this. I think if you're looking at it from a comfort standpoint, you're going to say, okay, you would prefer to have the playoffs wrapped up last night. You don't have to worry about it for the 2 remaining games of the regular season. But now, I think it adds, at least for me, a little more excitement to have the ability to get into the postseason at home in the final 2 games against what? The best team in the division right now.
Yeah, the only team you have not beaten this season in the division.
Yeah. So I think that this is going to be exciting. I think that it's going to be something that everybody is going to be, I mean, because now you have to care about the last 2 regular season games, whereas otherwise you would have just let it go until the Stanley Cup playoffs begin.
Well, that's not a guarantee, because the point could all be moot if the Stars fall on Friday. They're at Tampa Bay again Friday. If they lose, Preds clinch.
Okay, so that's an important thing to remember.
So the Preds could be in the playoffs by the time puck drops on Saturday. But if the Stars have lost 5 in a row. If they nab a win in Tampa Bay on Friday, the pressure's on. Because, like we said, it's the only team you haven't beaten this season. And suddenly, Preds are up 4 points right now on the Stars in that 4th-place spot. Stars win. It's a 2-point deficit for Dallas. And if the Preds fall to Carolina on Saturday, like I said, pressure's on. Stars have a game in hand.
Are they good enough to get through a playoff series?
The Predators?
Yeah. No, the other teams that we don't care about.
I don't know. He doesn't think so. I'll be very surprised if the Preds get past the first round, assuming they qualify. But that's why you got to get in. They've been good all season. Sort of this whole run in the last 2 months has really been predicated. A big key of it has been bouncing back from performances like they had last night. A little sloppy. I was sort of surprised at the energy level, especially late. I thought they'd sort of come out with more of a purpose that Columbus did a really good job of just mucking the game up. But just sloppy, you know, UC Saros just trying to clear out a puck, puts it out of play, power play results in a goal for Columbus. Sloppy moments here and there that you don't want to see for a potential playoff clinching win. They picked it up late the last 5 minutes. I really thought they were going to find an equalizer there at the end. The chances they generated, but
it was hugely competitive.
Yeah. Well, things picked up in late in the third period, but I thought the energy level still was surprisingly low throughout the game. But again, they've done a great job of bouncing back from these types of performances throughout this run. So we'll see if they can do it Saturday against the only team they have not beaten. Point could all be moot if the Stars lose on Friday. That would be six in a row for Dallas in terms of losses.
Matt Mosley writes in on Periscope, Buck caved to the one irate person about Preds coverage. No, we didn't cave. They're just the only local team that played a game yesterday because the rest of the show is going to be spent on football. You know, this is the balance that we have. When we take time out of our day to talk about hockey, understanding that nobody cares, or at least the ratings tell us that nobody cares when we talk about hockey, I think that, you know, it is important to acknowledge the idea that there is a local sports team participating in competitive. By the way, when did the Sounds start? I want, speaking of live sporting events in Nashville that I want to go to, because I think, Lucas, we ought to try and find a way to get to these last two games at Bridgestone Arena. I would like to go. I haven't been to a Preds game.
Yeah, I think their home opener is like next week.
Oh, for the Sounds?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you know,
I could be wrong.
I will treat the Sounds games differently than I would treat the Preds games. At the Preds games, I actually watch hockey. At the Sounds game, I just go to drink and ignore baseball.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to write off it. People care about what the Preds are doing right now. I mean, it's a big point of conversation in this city.
Look at you getting upset.
I'm not getting upset.
Look, you're like this Thomas Bauer guy in my mentions yesterday.
Do I sound upset?
A little bit. Just a little bit. Just slightly triggered. Just slightly. Anyway, we're going to have a fun show. 615-737-1045. Jack Gentry is also going to be here to do best bets. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the Titans and a wide receiver situation, because I was reading our good buddy, Teron Davenport from ESPN.com, and basically the article was how Des Fitzpatrick can help the Titans right away, right out of the gate, because this is the question, and this is the question that we're going to pose to you guys. Who is the Titans wide receiver two right now? Now, Lucas trolled you all a little bit when he put out the poll question for my Twitter account, bringing up Nick Westbrook Akina, NWI, as he's known. Just reading Rex Road in The Athletic a couple of months ago.
Is that even a troll, though? I mean,
it's definitely a troll.
Who is that third option to put into that spot?
It would be Batson before NWI.
You really think so?
Yes, I think so. Did you go to training camp last year and watch this man?
Like once.
Yeah. So,
last year I did not because of COVID.
Oh, well, that's fair. But NWI, I'm sure, is a lovely person. A fellow Indiana Hoosier like myself, so I can't hate on him too much. But there was little. He did catch a 2-point conversion last year and had a critical third down conversion at some point over the course of last season.
Yeah. At some point, he had a third down catch.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's so Cam Batson probably edges him out a little bit. But there is a legitimate conversation to be had between Des Fitzpatrick and Josh Reynolds. We'll ask you guys that question coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Thirsty Thursday here on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas spinning the tracks behind the scene. We are happy to have you wherever it is that you listen to 104.5 The Zone. Just say, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone, your smart speaker. Real easy to get involved with the show. Now, we were talking about hockey to open the show. We are going to talk about who the Titans wide receiver two is, because our buddy Teron Davenport wrote a really interesting piece on ESPN.com about Des Fitzpatrick, their fourth round selection, one of two wide receivers that they ended up taking. But Lucas, we didn't even talk about what the hell happened with the Rangers and the Capitals last night.
Yeah.
It's the only, I flipped it on just for the puck drop. Oh, here you go, Lucas, in the chat on YouTube. Kirsten Collier says, Lucas is cute. Is he single?
No, I'm not, Kirsten. Thank you, though.
Yeah, look at him. He's blushing.
Stop.
You didn't think you were going to stop, he says. You didn't think you were going to get hit on in the chat on 104.5 The Zone TV, did you?
No, I've been waiting for that.
You've been waiting for that?
Well, because somebody
Your called. Girlfriend's going to be pissed.
Somebody called Will Bowling cute at the remote the other day.
Yeah, but it was a dude.
It was, yeah, but that's okay.
No, it's fine. Just saying. It's a little disorienting to have random, you know, and none of you guys are random. I don't want to call you random, but across the board. Also, I'm a little jealous that Kirsten did not say the same thing about me. But it's okay, because now I don't have to get in trouble with my girlfriend.
Kirsten, rate us 1 to 10 when you get a chance.
What are we, pieces of meat? No. We are not going to be objectified for the people just because we're on camera now. The disrespect. 615-737-1045. We didn't even talk about what the hell happened with the Capitals and the Rangers last night. By the way, we talked about the Rangers statement after Tom Wilson basically took Artemi Panarin out for the year, pulled him down by his hair, was swinging on him after the fact. By the way, if you're going to pull hair in a hockey fight, like, I'm sorry, I think less of you as a human being, even as I respect hockey players really more than any other sport because they're insane people. They're skating around on knives at 100 miles an hour. They're shooting, you know, rubber pucks at each other's teeth without proper face protection. Like, it's an insane sport, hockey. But immediately, as soon as the puck is dropped between the Rangers and the Capitals last night, everybody on the ice dropped their sticks, dropped the gloves, and immediately start swinging on them. 100 penalty minutes in the first, like, 30 seconds of the game. It was so funny. Yeah,
it was electric.
To see, it was electric, absolutely, to see. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I watch hockey for violence.
I mean, that's like a minor league hockey or AHL kind of thing that puts fans in seats, you know. You don't see that in the NHL very often. So when it happens, you better be tuned in. I'm very glad that was on NBC primetime yesterday. I missed the Tanner Janot goal that opened it up for the Preds because I just knew I had to catch the opening puck drop, and I'm glad I did.
I mean, it's rare that hockey is must-see TV, but everybody who's paying attention to sports knew that you had to be locked on to that opening puck drop between the Rangers and the Capitals. But you told me the Rangers, like, fired, like, half their front office?
Their president and general manager were fired yesterday.
Having to do with the statement that they put out against the league?
There's been nothing in terms of their statement and their press release that tied it into that, but it's certainly not a coincidence.
Man, I hope not. It's so rare that you see teams have, like, you know, just stones of steel.
Yeah, I mean, that was
calling out the NHL, the director of player safety, saying he is unfit for his position.
That's the NHL.
It was incredible.
Saying you overstepped your bounds.
Habitual line steppers.
And that's a team that's been in a pretty steady rebuild. That's a very young team that had been crawling back towards playoff contention and now have to start from scratch.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about, hashtag transition, 615-737-1045. Because Seth Clark writes in the chat on Twitch, and you can interact with the show across Twitch or the phone line, 615-737-1045. Seth Clark writes in, NWI being so disrespected, SMH, he is going to show all the Titans reporters what's up this season. Seth, man, like, listen, This is like our bit with Wyatt Ray and Tuzar Skipper, okay? It's not personal when I am critical of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina because they clearly see value in him. He was playing a fair amount, not just on special teams for the Titans, and there were injuries associated with this as well, but he was seeing snaps on offense. Now, they weren't necessarily targeting him a great deal, but it was a joke, says Seth Clark. Oh, it was a joke.
I'm glad you caught that.
I don't have a sarcasm font in the chat. What am I going to do? Meanwhile, Hayes Ant says Buck looks like a Mar from Yes Theory. I don't know what that means.
Nope. Yeah, I got nothing.
That's not like an Isley Brothers reference, right? We're not going to get buried because we didn't know who Amar from Yes Theory is.
We got buried by everybody.
We got slaughtered yesterday.
We got buried by Rhett Bryan in the green room. I got buried by my roommate, who is the same age as me, and I guess rightfully so. I mean, I have nothing to say to defend myself.
I mean, I guess not. And then, you know, we felt great shame, but that's the best way to learn is through public shame. So anyway, the Titans wide receivers. Who is the Titans wide receiver to as it stands right now? Because we went through the roster, as it is currently constructed, the Titans wide receiver position group. You have A.J. Brown, obviously, first and foremost. Josh Reynolds, acquired in free agency. And this is in no particular order, but Des Fitzpatrick, the draft pick. Racy McMath, the draft pick. You also have Cam Batson, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Cody Hollister, I believe, is on a futures contract with them. Hayes Ant says, look him up. Egyptian brothers. Oh, well, that's good. Brother in arms. Anyway, let me not get distracted. Chat is very conducive to taking advantage of my ADD. So you have I won't call it less than desirable group of wide receivers for the Titans, but it's definitely a step down from what you had last year. Because you're talking about between Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, even though he dealt with concussions for the majority of the year last year, factoring in those two players who were starters, and your starting tight end in Jonnu Smith, Titans lost just north of 43% of their receiving production in free agency, or in the case of Adam Humphries, just being released. So now it becomes the question, well, who is going to be the starting wide receiver opposite A.J. Brown? And I think there's a little too much emphasis placed on the idea of a starting wide receiver, because I think if you go back and look, like, I'm pretty sure Nick Westbrook-Ikhina technically started a game last year because he was a part of the first offensive formation that started the game. And so that's technically described as a starter. So I think we make too much out of starters. But we're talking about wide receiver two. And so what Teron wrote for ESPN.com this morning is basically, you know, what you can expect out of Des Fitzpatrick. Because he comes from an unconventional offense in Louisville. But at the Senior Bowl, when he made such a great impression on John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you're seeing a more polished route runner than I think you might otherwise expect, based on what you watched at Louisville. He talked about his releases, how he models them off Devontae Adams, the Green Bay Packers. Now, nobody is saying that Des Fitzpatrick is Devontae Adams. But if you're looking at players who you're trying to model your game off of, the ability to utilize releases to create separation. Kenneth Krall on Periscope says the wide receiver two is not on the current roster. Well, you know, we'll have Arthur Smith on later, and I'll ask him, you know, what he's willing to give up, what he's willing to get, or what the Titans should be willing to give up to trade him for Julio Jones.
But it's interesting he brings up the Devontae Adams thing, because Greg Cosell said that on 3HL and in all of his draft analysis about Des Fitzpatrick, that's the guy that he reminds him of coming out of college.
And listen, if you end up with, even if he's a poor man, Devontae Adams, like, you're in a pretty good spot.
He's the best receiver in football last season.
Yeah. Well, and also playing with the MVP at quarterback.
Yeah.
But not, and that's not to diminish what Devontae Adams did last year at all. So they have a what we think is a conventional player in this offense who comes from an unconventional offense. And, like, the first, he got excited when we talked to him on the Zoom because he was drafted in the fourth round. The Titans waited until the fourth round to address the wide receiver position when everybody really thought that they should look at it higher, even though the depth in this class was something that we all spent 2.5 months talking about. Wide receiver depth is the best part of this NFL draft. And so when they tested the wide receiver depth, everybody got pissed at him, which I thought was a little bit funny. But, like, Tannehill texted Des Fitzpatrick right, like, almost right after he got drafted and basically said that he's excited for Fitzpatrick to come down to the offense. He felt like it was a good pick for them. He likes Des Fitzpatrick's game, and he felt like he got a weapon with this new off, or he got a new weapon in this Titans offense. How much newer or how much different the Titans offense actually looks from Arthur Smith, who will join us later on in the show, to now Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator, remains to be seen. I don't imagine you're going to see a drastic difference. It will be more about play calling tendencies, I think, than, you know, blatant and obvious schematic differences. But we don't know at this point. So the question to you guys is, who is wide receiver two? Because Teron is making the case that Des Fitzpatrick can be that player. He can do things to alleviate some of the attention from A.J. Brown, or Des Fitzpatrick can take advantage of the attention that A.J. Brown will be attracting, because obviously without Corey Davis, without Jonnu Smith, Humphries to a lesser degree, everybody going to be looking at A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and be like, all right, that's who we have to take away. That's who we're hyper-focused on.
But are we unfairly ruling Josh Reynolds out of this discussion?
I'm not, but I'm just talking through this for the audience. Because I think the audience is not, and maybe I'm wrong. If you want to weigh in on this, 615-737-1045, because Quay McGee on Facebook Live says Julio Jones. Kenneth Krall, as we mentioned, says the wide receiver two is not on the current roster. I'm not saying that at all. But if you have different thoughts, if you are in favor of Josh Reynolds, if you are against Josh Reynolds, feel free to discuss. 615-737-1045.
618 yards, 12 yards per catch is good production for a wide receiver three. Which is what he was in Los Angeles, behind Cooper Kupp and I'm blanking, Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. And those are good. Those are and benefited by the offense. I know Jared Goff kind of slowed them down a little bit based on what Sean McVay wanted to do. But I'm not sitting here making the argument against Josh Reynolds at all. I'm just simply talking through the article that was written today and what the just basically what the conversation that I receive feedback on. You know, I base a lot of the way that we do the radio show topics off what you guys are talking about. Like what you guys ask me about in the mentions, or whether it's on the A to Z Sports Instagram story on Tuesday when I answer Titans questions, or what you guys call in about to the radio show, or what you leave in the comments section. And so the conversation has been largely about, well, where is our wide receiver two? Well, I'm telling you that you probably have two options at this point, and for whatever reason, people are excluding them from the conversation. Now, outside of Josh Reynolds and A.J. Brown, there's not a receiver on the roster who has over 500 yards career receiving. So the lack of production, whether it's because of opportunity, whether it's because they're just simply not good enough, it has not existed. Curry, like Steph on Twitch, says, I believe you get enough production between Reynolds and Fitz to not have a clear number two. And I don't think that's so. But it also depends on how heavily featured the tight ends are going to be in this offense. Because right now you're rocking with four tight ends, technically. More than four tight ends. Let me not exclude Parker Hesse. Let me not exclude the dude who got suspended for PEDs last year, who was on the practice squad, whose names escape me. But you have Jared Pinkney, you have Jeff Swaim, and you have Anthony Firkser.
And don't rule out the possibility of re-signing Michael Pruitt.
Michael Pruitt also out there. And Robinson told us on, what was that, Saturday in the last Zoom availability with the Adam, that GMs who have tight ends that they're trying to offload are currently calling the Titans. So possibilities are still being explored. This is not a finished roster. But I think, you know, and Fred Brown, by the way, we have not mentioned Fred Brown, who only has two career catches, but that's not doing a lot to assuage your angst about the wide receivers. So here's what Teron writes, and Teron does an exceptional job at film breakdown. He played wide receiver in college, so Teron has a better understanding of this position more than probably anybody else covering the Tennessee Titans presently. Like, Teron is probably the best film, I think Teron is the best film analyst of any of us who are tasked with covering your favorite team, your favorite NFL team, on a day-by-day basis. So what Teron writes is basically that the way that he accelerates despite not being a top-end burner, the way that he gets on cornerbacks quicker than they expect to be gotten on, basically, makes it tougher for them to open up their hips and run with him. He's not just a deep threat, but he has the ability to technically run sound routes and attack the ball when it's thrown his way. The ball skills, when you watch Des Fitzpatrick at Louisville, again, even understanding as the offense there was unconventional, he is capable of winning on back shoulder throws and making contested catches, which is what you look for a wide receiver. You're looking for yards after catch, yards after contact, and contested catches. This offense more than any other offense, because you don't have that straight line burner for the Tennessee Titans. And for the most part, they haven't needed it, right? I mean, you're putting up 4,000 plus yards with Tannehill, almost two 1,000 yard receivers between Corey Davis and A.J. Brown last year. Jonnu Smith's receiving production and touchdown production did tail off because of the injuries that they had at tackle, and he was asked to stay in more to help basically protect the quarterback. But this is not a offense, as last we saw it, that needs straight line speed. Now, does it help you? Sure. There are a variety of different things that can help you when you're talking about scheming up offense in the NFL. But at this point, I think Des Fitzpatrick can legitimately contribute right out of the gate. Now, you cannot assume health. We know that is the most difficult part, that just the physical acclimation process of your body as a rookie coming into the NFL, even if it's from major college football, and the ACC is major college football, Power 5 football, it does take some kind of acclimation to where you're being mindful of, what, hamstring injuries, like we talk about for every Titans rookie, it seems like, since the dawn of time. Chris Frazier says that Big J, talking about Josh Reynolds, is the Titans wide receiver too. I'm not sleeping on Josh Reynolds at all. In fact, if I had to, that's how they're thinking of him. Right now, they're thinking of Josh Reynolds as Corey Davis, maybe, I don't want to say 2.0, because I think Corey Davis's athletic ceiling is far superior to that of Josh Reynolds.
He hasn't had the opportunity to be wide receiver too.
Playing behind Cooper Kupp, playing behind Robert Woods, the run-based offense for the Los Angeles Rams, similar to the run-based offense that they have here in Tennessee, outside zone, play action passing. But I think that's a great way to maximize the efficiency of the quarterback and also maximize the skill set of somebody like Josh Reynolds. Now, what that told me in the idea that they didn't take a wide receiver until the fourth round is that they have the confidence in Josh Reynolds. And based on conversations, it seems like they very much look at him like wide receiver too. Now, whether he ends up making up for the production that Corey Davis, that you lost in Corey Davis, I mean, for Corey to have 900-plus yards, I think he finished with 5 touchdowns last year, maybe not a reasonable expectation. Like, I fully expect the Tennessee Titans offense to take not one step back, but probably two. You lost a lot. A lot. And you're looking at Roger Saffold, who is still a good player, but getting up there in age. Your offensive line is aging. Taylor Lewan coming off injury. It is not safe to assume that they will be able to perform at as high a level as they did last year. But you know, we'll ask Arthur Smith when he joins the show later on. Falcons head coach, former Titans offensive coordinator, he's going to be on with us today. We'll ask him what he would be willing to exchange in order for the Titans to get Julio Jones. I'm sure he'll appreciate that question very much. Braylon S. Green. Actually, we'll read this comment on the other side. If you would like to weigh in, 615-737-1045. When we come back, we're going to do some best bets. It's that time of the week for Jack Gentry of A to Z Sports to make you some money. Jack will join us on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Back here, 104.5 The Zone on this thirsty Thursday. I just had to take an Excedrin during the commercial break. I did have a tequila last night on Cinco de Mayo. Just one.
No, you told me you drank a beer last night.
I did have a beer I had two. I had two beers and a tequila last night.
What prompted you to drink a beer?
Well, somebody who I went to dinner with wanted to drink beer. I ordered a coffee and a water because I'm 110 years old. And also I had A to Z Sports primetime to do at 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday to Thursday night.
I've never seen you drink a beer.
It's the first time I think I've drank a beer in a calendar year. It's been a minute.
What was it?
Tiny Bomb, I think is the name of the beer. It's from Memphis. It was really good. It was light. It didn't make me feel like, you know, like I was 110 pounds because beer just, it doesn't work well for me. I get bloated and I rolled out of there. But anyway, we have Jack Gentry, speaking of A to Z Sports. Jack Gentry of A to Z Sports and the Titan Up Podcast is here with us for his weekly segment to tell the people how they should be wagering their money. Jack, what is your best bets record? Because you have been killing it this year. On the best bets bit that we do at A to Z Sports. What is the current record of the best bets?
You know, I haven't been keeping track, but I've won my last few. And, you know, with the draft this past weekend, I came on with you guys. I gave you guys a few best bets, and they went 6 for 6 on Twitter.
Yep.
So if you were following me at Jack A. Gentry, shameless plug there, then you would have made some money like I did this weekend. But we've been doing okay so far. We're trying to keep the train moving. And we're kind of in a weird spot now. The Kentucky Derby was this past week in the NFL draft. Tons of stuff to bet on. Now, as the NBA regular season draws closer to an end, we're going to hit the hardwood tonight. We got Grizz Pistons. The Grizz are 9-point favorites. Total for the game is 223. Now it's tricky because this is the second game of a back-to-back for the Grizzlies. And right. They're in the middle of a 3-game road trip. Last night, they beat the Timberwolves by 4 in Minnesota. And Grizz Pistons, this is a situation where the Grizzlies have playoff aspirations, and the Pistons are trying to stack ping pong balls. They've got the second worst record in the NBA. They've lost 4 straight, 8 out of 10. Now, the 9 points is a large number for a back-to-back, especially, like I mentioned, in the middle of a 3-game road trip. They go to Toronto on Saturday. But there are a couple player props I'm looking to play this week. It's interesting because in back-to-backs this season, Memphis ranks 5th in rebounds, mostly due to Jonas Valanciunas, who averages 12 boards a game. That's 3rd in the NBA. Valanciunas cleans it up on the glass. In the first matchup between these two, Valanciunas hauled in 15 rebounds, had 17 points to go along with it. So I'm going to take his rebounds prop tonight as long as that number is under 14. I think Valanciunas flirts with double-digit rebounds in the first half. This is a Pistons team that's mixing and matching lineups as they try and figure out how to move forward with their future, see if any guys are working at certain roles. So I like Valanciunas' rebounds prop tonight. It hasn't been released yet. It's still early, and on back-to-backs, they're gonna take their time to make sure the lineups are correct and player availabilities won't be an issue. So keep an eye on that as the day moves along and as the player props are released. I really like Valanciunas to do work on the window tonight.
Okay, so you mentioned before you broke down the entirety of the Grizzly season, basically, which I was not expecting, but thank you for that thorough analysis. You mentioned that we are in a bit of a, I don't want to call it a betting purgatory, because there is so much coming off the NFL. There's so much coming off of, yeah, I mean, even as far removed as March Madness, the Kentucky Derby. By the way, do you make any money on the Kentucky Derby?
No, I didn't. I did not. Bob Baffert is a legend.
I'm never betting against him ever.
Well, not many sports books had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twin Spires and a bunch of those horse races, it's kind of exclusive to those, but no, I didn't. I took the horse. It was 2-1. I'm forgetting it. Essential Quality.
Yeah.
And Hot Rod Charlie, the horse that was owned by the five bros from Brown University. And it didn't work out, but it's okay. It's the Derby. Derby's tough to bet on, especially this year when there's 20 horses, on the track at the same time.
Okay, so what is your favorite thing to bet? Because I feel like, I mean, I struggle with hockey. It's the best way that I can keep myself engaged with hockey, but I definitely struggle with betting it. I enjoy betting basketball because I want to watch the NBA anyway. I'm more prone to watch the NBA than I am the NHL just on a regular basis. And also Ja Morant, who is allegedly a top 5 point guard in the league, according to his own estimations, which I appreciate. But what is your favorite thing to bet? And is this time of year a more difficult place to kind of bet through this purgatory until we get closer to actual football?
Yeah, it is. In the NBA, it's tough to bet because there's no lineup consistencies. A lot of guys are sitting out with whether they're resting or load management, which is a big term nowadays. But my favorite thing to bet has to be the NFL. You get a week between games, so you have 6 days to figure out what you're going to bet on. You can look at it from a bunch of different angles and find edges where you have time to do that. Whereas in the NHL, they're playing sometimes on back-to-backs with a day or two of rest in between on most occasions. So for me, it has to be football, college, and NFL. Those are the most fun to bet on as well. So it's got to be the pigskin for me.
It's got to be the pigskin for me. It's just such sports cliche by Jack A. Gentry. At Jack A. Gentry is where you can
I'm writing
him.
These down. Work on the window. Got to be the pigskin.
Yep.
That's disgusting. It really is. I do not invite Jack onto this radio show weekly for him to bury us in sports cliches. The worst thing about sports talk radio. But anyway, Jack A. Gentry of A to Z Sports. The Tighten Up podcast as well. New episodes drop every Wednesday in the A to Z Sports podcast feed. All right, Jack, what is your best bet? You have given us the Valanciunas rebounds bet, something to monitor tonight for the Grizzlies back-to-back. But what is your best bet heading into this weekend in general? Doesn't have to be tonight, doesn't have to be tomorrow, but just generally, what is the thing that you can give the listeners that they, as surefire a thing as you would be able to place money on?
Well, we talked about Ja Morant. You mentioned he said he was a top 5 point guard in the NBA. He struggles on back-to-backs, averaging just 14 points a game on the second game of a back-to-back this season, which is down from his 19 that he averages this year. He had 37 last night and 37 minutes. So I'd expect Taylor Jenkins to be a little conservative with his minutes if this thing gets away in the second half. So maybe under his total points, you can still hit that bet while he has an effective night if that number is anywhere around 20 to 21. But in hockey, motivation's a big thing right now. There's a bunch of teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs. There's still teams jockeying for seeding. And if you're the Predators, that last spot in the Central Division. So I'm hard-pressed to be betting against the Predators right now, considering that they're likely to enter this weekend when they face up with Carolina, where the Hurricanes are kind of coasting, waiting for the playoffs to begin as that one seed, in a situation where they're not trying to get anybody hurt. Maybe they're light on some guys' ice time. Maybe they rest some guys with the Preds. But I like the Preds this weekend against Carolina, and that Ja Morant points under. Those are things that I'm looking at.
If I'm betting over or under 1.5 vibes for the Nashville Predators, what would I bet?
You got to bet the over. They're vibing, Buck. I know you hate it. Will Bowling, he's over there. He's hating on it, too. Don't kill the vibe, Buck. Do not kill the vibe.
They killed the vibe. It's not my fault that they killed the turn.
Got to roll with it. It's glorious.
Okay. Enough with your cliches and your Predators propaganda. Jack A. Gentry is where you can follow him. Jack Gentry of A to Z Sports. He joins us every Thursday for his best bets. Happy betting this weekend, Jack.
See you, Buck.
All right. I am really gambling is the best way to get me invested in baseball and hockey at this point. So I'm delighted. In fact, that was the most frustrating thing. I went to Florida a couple of weeks ago for the weekend. I was getting ready to play some bets after I landed, and I realized that Florida has not yet legalized sports betting and that DraftKings would not allow me to use my app in the state of Florida because they have it geographically like sectioned off. So it was infuriating to me. But sports gambling has revitalized my interest in sports across the board. Even you know, maybe Chelsea last night with a massive victory. And on the foot of one.
Yeah, Christian Pulisic with the game-clinching assist.
How excited were you last night?
I was so excited. Like, I was jumping up and down. And I am not even close to a Chelsea fan. But to see a 22-year-old American push Chelsea past Real Madrid, the most successful club in European history, in that tournament was it was surreal.
I mean, listen, we need a great American soccer player to be able to galvanize the country in that regard, and we're hoping that it's Pulisic.
Yeah, he's been a star in this tie, and he came off the bench yesterday. Was an instant impact. Yeah. First American to ever score in a Champions League semifinal, as he did in the first leg.
I read your tweet as if you were in tears yesterday, celebrating Pulisic's effect on Chelsea's victory yesterday.
And it's just one of those things you never thought would ever happen.
Well,
like, straight up.
I mean, I don't know. I've been hearing that soccer is making grounds in the United States, or making strides in the United States.
But I mean, 5 years ago, it's the type of thing that seemed unfathomable. Even that long ago, just 5 years.
You know what else seems unfathomable?
The fact that we got the Falcons head coach on our airwaves?
No, I don't think that's unfathomable. Do you underestimate my ability to get people that I talk to on a regular basis?
No, I'm sure there's some people in Atlanta not happy about it.
Well, you know, tough. What is more unfathomable is the idea that Julio Jones may be a Titan. We'll talk to Arthur Smith about that coming up next, and we will spend some time on the biggest concern with the Titans offense and the defense. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.